good evening. Wow, this is so different, isn't it? Ah, pass the rolls, right? Pass the rolls. Some butter and I've already been asked, where's the coffee? I've already been asked that. Well, this is great. We're looking forward to a great night tomorrow evening. And do you have a hymn book? And you reach around the chair back there behind you and let's sing page 630. Let's stand together, please, and sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, 630. Let's sing it now.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear.
Statement. We give up so many blessings because we don't take things to God in prayer. Let's sing the last verse. Are we weak and heavy laden?
Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
God bless you. You may be seated. Oh, it's great to be in God's house, whether it's a banquet house or a preaching house or whatever. We're going to feast on God's holy word and lift up one another's burdens, encourage one another, be friendly. I tell you what, if you can't be at home in the house of God, then there's just a problem in your heart. Just a problem in your heart. Now, I'm so glad that you're here. God bless each and every one of you. We're going to do something a little different tonight. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Looking forward to this service, that we knew the tables would be set up in this way. And I'm going to encourage people, if you're just, you know, one or two, you know, seated at your table, if you want to, in a moment, it's up to you. But if you want to go and join somebody else's table, and so there's three or four of you or five or however many, if you want to do that, that's up to you. But we're going to give folks opportunity to pray. I'm not going to go through and read through the prayer list. It's all printed there for us. And so tonight I'm not going to do that. And we're going to have a season of prayer. And it would be wonderful if you just even pray for, you know, just a few short moments. Maybe it's nerve-wracking for you to hear, for other people to hear you pray, and that's fine. I understand that, but it's so important for God's people to pray. And by the way, we did something we haven't done yet around here. We have at our disposal a means to send out an emergency prayer request, and we sent it out to most everybody. I think I don't know. How many of y'all received that prayer? Okay, that prayer thing. Okay, it went out to most, and so we're trying to refine that. And if you didn't get it, we apologize. But if you had your hand up, that means you received both of our texts, and so we're thankful for answers to prayer. Thank you for praying. And I tell you, within seven minutes, I had 55 folks who had responded. We're praying right now. Within just 7 minutes. And just boom, 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 one after another. And there's power in prayer. They did not know if Caitlin, they said that her, the police, the only thing they told them was that they had life-flighted her. And they couldn't tell if she was alive or dead. And that her truck was completely demolished. And they did not know how anyone could survive such an accident. That's what they knew from the beginning. And so that's, we sent out that emergency burst to everyone. And thank you for praying. So call unto me, the Bible says, Jeremiah 33, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm going to ask Brother Joe Gibalisco, would you come, please, sir? And in just a few minutes, he and I will pray up here, and then he'll come and close in prayer, and that way folks will kind of get an idea. We're not going to hurry through this. This will take 10 or 15 minutes, and that's well invested time at the throne of grace. And so we're gonna take this as a matter of prayer. So there's several on here, and I'll give some announcements about some of these that are listed. But let's bow together in prayer. And if you want to scoot over to another table, that'd be totally fine. Feel free to do that. Find an open seat somewhere and just join into another group. And I'm sure they'd be glad to have you. And so we're not going to have any music playing or anything like that. And I'm glad that God can hear Mio pray while he hears me pray and you pray all at the same time. And he understands each and every one of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
First thing. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we serve a God who hears our prayers, a God who's a mighty God, a powerful God, a God who loves us so much. You demonstrated by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty of our sins. We weren't worth it. We weren't worth it, Lord, because of our sin. But yet you look beyond our sin. And you want to love us and save us and give us home in heaven. Lord, we're so grateful for who you are. And what a privilege it is to come before you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're so thankful for that. And Lord, as we enter your gates with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise, we're going to bring some knees before you. And Lord, sometimes our prayers are more fervent when there's an incident that takes place that's so shattering to our lives. And that's why we pray for Caitlin right now, Lord. You know what's best. We thank you for sparing her at this point. And the church responded by taking that burden and praying. We can't do anything physically. We can't do anything right now, but we have a God who can do this. We have a God who's so strong and powerful, a God whose will is so beyond ours. And we're so thankful we can come before you for that. Thank you, Lord, for a praying church. As we bear one another's burdens, we all have things in our lives, Lord, that we struggle, things that can try to take us away from serving you. Satan would put certain things in our own personal lives to distract us from seeking after you. But God, may we push through and realize that some of these things are temporal, and we can just seek you, God. And as we do that, it's like Peter when he walked on the water. He was doing fine when he looked at you, but when he started looking at circumstances, then he began to waver and sink. But we're so glad that, God, if we even do that, we can do like Peter and cry out, "Help me, Lord." And you do that. You're right there for us. Thank you. And thank you that you hear our prayers for those needs that are mentioned and are written in the prayer need paperwork we had tonight. And we're so thankful that, God, for each people, each person that's here, you know our hearts. You know that we want to seek after you. We love you. Thank you for this season of prayer that we can have. And we need to do that more often, God. Not when adversity strikes, but even in the good times, we can say, "Thank you, Lord. Things are going well. Thank you. Our needs are met. Thank you." But when things get tough, we can say, "Lord, you'll deliver us through this. Thank you." And Lord, we're so grateful to a loving God, we pray. And through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You know, a church kind of becomes known for certain things, and I thank God for the wonderful ways that our church is known. Our church has been known as a church planting station. Pastor Reynolds was used by God to lead and to plant about 9 or 10 churches out of this ministry, of this church. That's a wonderful thing. When people talk about Volusia County Baptist Church, they think of a singing church, musical church, great preaching at our founders' conferences and revival meetings, and some people think of us as a mission-minded church, almost 100 missionaries around the world that we're partnering with in a small way around the globe. But with all those things, I'm not saying any of those things are bad; those are all wonderful. But may we also be known as a praying church. A praying church. Some churches are performance church. They're performers, performing. And if we do something, let's do it for an audience of one. Let's do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a good thing. I don't know. This is the first time to do it, and some of you have 7 or 8 people around the table. You might not have had time to get around to everybody. I'm sorry. We'll kind of work on this, but I don't know. I kind of like this. I kind of like listening and hearing this roar of people praying, and that's sweet. I know it's sweet to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's great. Thank you so much. Well, I'm going to go ahead do we have any visitors here tonight? We'd love to welcome you. We'd love to welcome anyone or anywhere. Right over here. Oh, Miss Joy, if you'll introduce our guest.
My mom,
Linda Case. God bless you, Joy. Joy's mother, thank you so much for being with us tonight. And welcome. We're delighted that you're here. Who else? Anyone else? Yes, amen. Amen. All right. Well, now, when it's handshake time, Miss Linda, be warned. Be a lot of people. You're the only visitor tonight. They might just shake your arm off. But that's all right. Good to have you here. Let's take a hymn book to turn to page 636. 636. I must tell Jesus. 636. Can you sing if you're sitting down? Can you sing okay? If not, I'll have you stand now. Okay? 636. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. I'm sorry. Well, that sounded just like that, didn't it? The Lord's our... I must tell Jesus. Here we go. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Amen. Well, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, everything starts. The men need to be here who are serving. They're asking us to be here at 5 o'clock, and that's to get oriented and all that kind of thing and to know exactly what to do and to kind of get your tables prepped and these kinds of things. So 5 o'clock. Gentlemen, if you'll wear dark pants, if you got black, that'd be great. But dark pants, a white shirt and a tie, you can pick your tie. But whatever along that line, we just want to look sharp for these ladies. Amen. And thank you so much for your being willing to help. You might say, you know, I don't get off in time to be here at 5 o'clock. Well, then you get here at 5:15 or 5:30 or whatever time you possibly can get here. You don't have to worry about stopping and get something to eat. You get to eat the same wonderful, delicious dinner that we're serving the ladies. So we'll make that available to all of our servers. And so that is tomorrow night. And let's see. And then Sunday is Mother's Day. Don't forget, call your mother if she's not around, if she's not close enough that you can reach out to her and things. Give her a call and express your love and your appreciation for all that she has done over the years. You know, it's amazing how moms push out of their mind the bad things. And they cherish the good things. Isn't that sweet? I'm so glad of that. My mother's probably watching by way of live stream. Mom, thank you so much for tending not to remember those, not to dwell on those bad times. And thank you so much for loving me in spite of myself. So we're looking forward to a great Mother's Day. All the ladies who come on Mother's Day morning will be giving out a special gift. And we're looking forward to you being here, especially also recognizing some special moms. We always do that, and that's a lot of fun So we encourage you to be in your place for that Sunday morning and Sunday night. Super senior trip to the Tanger Outlet. I drove through. I've never shopped at the Tanger Outlet, but I have driven through there. I had to drop off Hope to get something, and she said, just drop me off. I'll just run and run out. She really does shop that way. She really does. And she goes shopping on a mission. And others, you know, it's shopping is an event. You know, it's to be enjoyed. It's to be savored. And so that's what this shopping trip is all about. It's to be enjoyed and savored. And so they'll be eating at the Golden Corral. Wow, that'll be nice. And so that's $15 for the Golden Corral. And sign up with Miss Nina tonight, if you will, please. Let her know that you're planning on going, riding on the big bus, and leave Tuesday at 10:30. 10:30 Tuesday morning. And so make sure and reserve your seat. All right, we have I'm sure a lot of other things that are upon us. Please make sure and look over your Sunday bulletin. All of that's there. I'm not going to take any more time to do that here this evening. Let's stand and let's sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. You probably don't need the book. It's page 92. There is a name I love to hear. Sing it now.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me.
Shake hands one with another. Greet the family of God here tonight. God bless you. Find someone you don't know. Find out their name. God bless you. If I didn't stop singing, you'd just talk all night. God bless you. You may be seated. And we are known as a fellowshipping church. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I was visiting a lady today, and she said, you know, I have visited other churches around. And she said, when I came to Volusia County, walked in, I didn't get to my seat before someone shook my hand. And then people around me, she said, there was this one dear lady, I don't know her name, don't know who she was, but she walked up to me and she said, boy, it's good to see you here. Is this one of your first times? And she talked to me and she made me feel at home and fellowship. That's the way it ought to be in God's family. That's the way it ought to be. And so thank you so much for that. And that's wonderful. Ushers, come on down. We'll receive the Lord's offering tonight. Please be in prayer for the Buck family, Jacob and Chrissy, and the homegoing of Jacob's mother. This is, of course, Lydia Buck. Miss Dot, God bless you. Just mentioned about Lydia. There she is. The service is Monday. I don't have the detail, the time. Do you know the time, Dot, for the funeral service? Oh, okay. Okay. I talked to them earlier, but they were still making the arrangements earlier today. And Okay, I don't know if you heard that, but when they brought Lydia home from the hospital on Monday evening, I believe it was Monday evening, brought her home. She told Jacob, she said, as bringing her home, she said, I'm headed up tomorrow. Getting up tomorrow. Amen. And she did. So that's the promises of God in this kind of experience, this kind of circumstance, situation. I was talking with the family there and gathered around and around the bed just shortly after she went on home to glory. And of course, there's tears and all of that. But we're just standing there waiting. And pretty soon they began talking about Lydia and talking about memories. And all of a sudden, they start laughing about this and laughing about that. And I commented. I said, you know, Christians are the only ones that can come at this point in their life. And they still have peace in the midst of a storm. Still have joy in the midst of sorrow. And so that's good. Well, let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon his offering. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Your grace and your mercy, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, I pray now that you would bless this offering. I pray that you had been pleased as your people prayed in unison. Lord, as your people lifted up, oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. Lord, may you be pleased to dwell with us and fill us with your presence. Lord, we want to magnify you, please you, serve you, and love on you. Thank you for loving us. Bless this offering, both the gifts and the givers. We do pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, it's a very distinct pleasure of mine to introduce these guests. It's wonderful to have Ed and Mina Oglesby here, and they have been precious to my heart for many, many years. And I knew Mina before I had met her husband, Ed, and she was in the office when I was attending Bible college. And you know, you have some adopted parents from time to time as you're growing up. Well, this is one of them in my life. This is an adopted mom, and I'm so thankful for Miss Mina and what she means to me, and the ministry of music that God has given to her, the ministry to ladies that God has given to her over these years. I could go on and on, Miss Mina, but I'm not going to. God bless you. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you, Pastor. I couldn't do a thing with him either. It's a joy to be back here. Such a joy to be with Pastor and Hope. I've observed them for many years, and don't want to cry. I guess that's what you do when you get old. But what a blessing it is to be back with them and to be back with those of you from Volusia County. We've had sweet memories here, and look forward to what the Lord is going to continue to do here in this place, because our Redeemer is faithful and true. When I look back on the road I've traveled, I see that every time he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I hear his promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. I know someday I'll see the Lord face to face, for my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation, he has proved his love for me. When I lack the understanding, he gives his grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new. Think about it. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Our Redeemer is faithful and true.
To live like a Christian. Ephesians chapter 4, we were finishing up trying to hurriedly get some things in last time. I'll just review verse 7, Ephesians chapter 4. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Grace is a gift, folks. Salvation is a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Romans 6:23, and I just go on and on and on. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Another gift. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. We talked about this, about the lower parts of the earth, and referring, as Jesus talked about it, as paradise or Abraham's bosom. Souls of believers in the Old Testament who died before Christ's resurrection, they were taken to this place of comfort and peace. And then on the other side, on another compartment in the same area, Jesus described a place that he called hell. Souls of unbelievers are taken to a place of torment. And Jesus called this place hell. The Greek word is Gehenna, a place of everlasting punishment. And in the Old Testament, this place within the earth that the Lord referred to, it's called Sheol, the place of death. You see, when people died and their faith was in the Lord and His way of salvation, Abraham, for instance, his faith was counted unto him for righteousness, the Bible says. Okay, well, when he died, his sins yet had not been paid for. He could not enter into the presence of the holy God. And so there was a holding place looking forward to Jesus coming, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And so this place Jesus described as in the Old Testament as Sheol, New Testament, Hades. Some of you recognize that name because it's used by animators and cartoons and that kind of thing. But it's a real place. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 40, he said, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." In the heart of the earth. Now, Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do, knew exactly where he was going. He's omniscient. And we described how that Jesus, I know. Some people say that Jesus was talking about that he's going to go in the grave, in the heart of the earth. Well, there's a problem there. You see, Jesus was not buried in the earth. He was buried in a tomb above ground. And so he was not talking about that. He was talking about paradise, and that's what he referred to when he was hanging there on the cross. And we gave a little graphic, a little picture, and I want you to understand something here. This is not what it looks like, all right? But just for the sake of understanding, there was a place, according to Luke chapter 16, a paradise, place of comfort, referred to, nicknamed as Abraham's bosom, a place where, you know, whenever you hurt yourself as a little kid and you wanted to run to mommy or run to daddy and they picked you up and you're crying and held you close to their bosom. It's a place of comfort, a place of peace and rest and security and safety. And so that's what it's pictured here. But then there's a great gulf in between, according to what Jesus said in Luke 16. And no one could pass from one side to the other in the place of torment called hell. Colossians 2, verse 15, when the Bible says that Jesus, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He led captivity captive, those that were held captive by their sins. He had paid the ultimate price. He had paid what is satisfying to Almighty God, the Heavenly Father. The payment, the wages for my sin was paid at Calvary. And His precious blood was shed for my redemption and for yours, sins of the whole world, and the sins of those Old Testament saints. He led captivity captive. He took the hostages and set them free and took them to heaven, presented his payment, his blood as the payment for their sin. Now, as the New Testament believers, when a New Testament believer dies, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. We close our eyes in death here. We draw our last breath now, and we draw our next breath before our Savior Jesus Christ. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And that's a wonderful comfort. There's no stopping off, you know. Do not pass go. Do not collect 200. I mean, we're carried by the angels. How do y'all know that? Because Jesus said that the beggar, Lazarus, was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. Someone once said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One preacher said, this angel right here, his name's Goodness. And this one's named Mercy. They're going to follow me all the days of my life. I don't know if that's true, but surely God's goodness and God's mercy does follow us all the days of our life. And he will give his angels charge over us. In this passage now, moving forward, in verse 11, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's a lot of meat here. Sometimes when I go to get barbecue, I know I try to do that sparingly. I'm barbecued enough, but if I'm gonna get ribs, I'll ask the waitress. I'll say, "Hey," said, "don't worry about bringing me a lot of ribs. Just bring me the ones that have a lot of meat on them. You know, I'll take two. You know, versus four or five, you got to nibble on. You know, give me something I can sink my teeth into." Well, this is something we can sink our teeth into, and this matter of spiritual gifts. Sometimes people shy away from that whole subject. Oh, gracious, no. Oh, wait a moment. God gave gifts unto believers so that we can serve Him and accomplish His purpose for our life. He gave us those gifts. Now, whether or not we use them for Him is something of another nature. I want to share this with you. In this passage, we have 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12 and other passages dealing with spiritual gifts. They focus on the gifts that believers receive. Here in Ephesians 4, this focuses on gifts that God gives to the universal church, to the church at large. It's more like offices that God has given to churches. Offices. And then gifted believers fill these offices. And so there are five of these. Five of these offices in this church. You saw them there. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are offices that God gives to the church. And so let's look at this first one. Offices gifted to deal with situations. Offices gifted to deal with situations. He lists two here. Apostles. He gave some apostles and some prophets. Let's deal with the apostles first. Apostles, they declared New Testament truth to the church by direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They penned Scripture. They walked with the risen Lord. An apostle means one who is sent out, one who is commissioned, an official representative, an ambassador. Now, we are all ambassadors. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, the Bible tells us. But there were requirements for an apostle. And this definitely does refer to the 12 disciples. And this is foundational. Ephesians 2 and verse 20, Ephesians 2:20 says that the church that we are built upon, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. These two offices in the church were foundational. Foundational. They were built on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Again, no man laid than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? And then upon them, we have the foundation of the apostles and prophets. These offices died out at the end of the first century. In the narrow sense, the apostle, one who is sent out and one who was with the risen Christ, chosen by the Lord, and saw the risen Lord, refers to the 12 disciples and Paul. 1 Corinthians 9:1 says, "Am I not an apostle?" You know, people attacked the apostle Paul. By the way, you ever felt like that you're being attacked, that people are lighting into you? You ever feel that way? As a soldier of Jesus Christ, Satan tries to find people that he can target to try to harm and to try to halt the cause of Christ. If you don't ever do anything for Jesus Christ, you probably might not get attacked very much. But if you don't do much for Jesus Christ, you're going to stand before your Savior one day and perhaps not have any crowns to lay at His feet. My friend, it is much better to be in the fray. It's much better to be in the fight. It's much better to be faithful and to have our commander-in-chief one time say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The Apostle Paul was attacked. He was. But remember something. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Understand that. Don't find a corner somewhere and suck your thumb and say, woe is me. You know, please, soldier on. He says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? You're the proof of my ministry. Yes, yes, truly. You'll find in the Word of God that other folks were mentioned as an apostle in a broad sense, in the sense of one who was sent out. Yes, I fully admit that. In the narrow sense of one who is speaking for the Lord Jesus Christ, though, one who's empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there was only the disciples and Paul. But there are others mentioned: Barnabas, Silas, Titus, Epaphroditus, James the brother of Jesus, half-brother of Jesus, and Andronicus and Junia. I'll give you just a few of these verses. Acts 14:14. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. Those who were sent out, well, they were sent out from Antioch, weren't they? Barnabas and Paul, they were sent out. And so in that sense, yes, yes, because that's what the word means. Definition of the word, apostolos, it means to be sent out. And so in the generic form of that term, yes, absolutely. Romans 16:7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoner, who are of note among the apostles. Now, these thoughts of being sent out, but now these were not folks that were one of the 12 disciples. We know that. We understand that and accept that. Galatians 1:19. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Okay? So, so I don't want you to hit a speed bump as you're reading the Word of God. Because in the generic form, in the broad sense of the word apostolos, yes, ones who were sent out. But in the specific sense of those who were leading in the New Testament church and giving by inspiration the Spirit of God, that's what this is referring to, this office. And then next, prophets. Prophets spread New Testament truth in churches that was already revealed to the apostles. Prophets, for the most part, were forthtelling, not just foretelling. Proclaiming, not just predicting. When you think of the word prophet, you think of someone like in the Old Testament who prophesied things that were to come. Remember the requirement of one of God's prophets. Do you remember what the requirement was? What was it, Brother Don? I'm sorry? Well, what if it didn't come to pass? It wasn't true. What were they supposed to do to that guy who said he was a prophet of God? They're supposed to kill him. Yeah. They're supposed to kill him. Yeah, okay. All right. Exactly. Because when God gave something to a prophet to say, it was absolutely true. And it would happen exactly the way God said it would happen. And he said that if someone says they're a prophet of God and they prophesy and it does not come true the way they said it, then stone him because he's not one of mine. 100% accuracy. Weathermen don't have to be a prophet. There's a 30% chance of rain. You know? Prophets. They spread the New Testament truth that was given by the apostles. Sometimes, God did speak and direct through these prophets to predict certain things. And you'll find that in the New Testament. You'll find that in the New Testament. But most of the time, it was proclaiming, not just predicting. Acts 13:1. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. There were prophets and teachers. Now, here's what I was getting at about prophets, the gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So there's not a real emphasis, although in our day and time, there's become a revived emphasis on predicting. And I have the gift of prophecy, and I'm going to predict. Have you heard of, you know, somebody walking up to you and saying, God told me that you're supposed to give me your car. I have the gift of prophecy. Well, that's wonderful. Amen. God bless you. As soon as God tells me, I'll do it. If God tells me to do that, boy, I want to obey the Lord. But you're not the boss of me. The gift of prophecy, and it's gone cattywampus. It really has in our day and time. This is not a we'll sometime later we'll probably delve into this, and I'm not in a big hurry to get into it, but this thing of spiritual gifts and prophecy, and someone who has a gift of prophecy today can admonish someone in a very direct way with a gift of prophecy and proclaiming the word of God, and that's what they did. And so these offices of the apostles and the prophets, in the sense that those offices were no longer needed in the church. After the first century comes to a close and they died out, and the canon of Scripture was completed, and the New Testament was completed. And so the emphasis on that, of expounding upon the verbal truth that was given by the apostles and supernaturally, divinely directed prophets and all of that, was the office of prophet was a foundational office. The gift of prophecy is still active. It's one of the speaking gifts. But the office of prophets has come to a close. And then the office is gifted to deal with sinners. This office gifted to deal with sinners. The Bible says, and some evangelists. Evangelists are those called to carry the gospel all over the world. Now, let me be very clear here. All Christians are called to be soul winners. All Christians are called to point people to Jesus Christ, to lead people to Christ. Say, well, I don't know how to lead someone to Christ. Well, hopefully you're a Christian. Hopefully someone led you to the Lord, right? How did you get saved? Why don't you start there? Why don't you start just simply telling somebody else how you got saved? If you're born again in the family of God, saved by grace, plus nothing, minus nothing, and you can share that with someone, that's what the Apostle Paul did. On three different occasions in the book of Acts, at least three different occasions, gave his testimony of how he was saved. And that's why you got to know that you know that you know that you're a Christian, that you're saved. You can share that with others, but the evangelist is someone that God can use in a miraculous way, in a very powerful way, to point others to Him. 2 Timothy 4 verse 5 says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist." He's speaking here to Timothy. The Apostle Paul is penning the Word of God, and he says, "Do the work of an evangelist." Now he's acknowledging the fact that Timothy was not called to be an evangelist. He was called to be a pastor. But as a pastor, as a church member, as a Sunday school teacher, we're supposed to do the work of an evangelist. We're to point people to Christ, win folks. But folks, when an evangelist comes to town, he has a special touch from God, a special gift, a special ability to get people to realize their need of the Savior in ways that we think, how did he word that? How did he say that? You know, he just kind of came out and it was just directed by God. There were great evangelists like that. Charles Finney. Charles Finney would walk into a city, as you read his biography, would walk into a city, come and be fixing to have a revival. And he had such a vibrant, prayer life and powerful preaching, that he would walk into a factory and it was said that people, that men would just fall under conviction as he walked in. The gift of evangelism. That is something that is in, it doesn't have to be a full-time evangelist. There could be somebody in the church that has that active gift is still going on today. We need that. Every church needs folks that has this desire and this zeal and this drive. And you'll find that if that's not your gift, you're going to have a desire and a zeal and a drive to do what God has gifted you to do. Now, let me pause here for a moment and just put a parenthesis, okay? This doesn't apply directly here, but this is application. You know the difficulty with folks who get a hold of what God wants them to do and God's called them to do and God's gifted them to do? They get fired up about it. I mean, they're excited about it. They're whole hog serving the Lord Jesus Christ and just wanting to dedicate everything. And they know now what God's given them to do. And they want everyone to do it too. Well, we all are firefighters. We all are firemen. But somebody has to keep the fire truck running. And somebody has to wind up the hoses. And somebody washes the truck. And somebody fixes the food for the firemen. Now, you could go on and on and all the little jobs. But the guy fixing the food and washing the dishes, he's thinking, man, why is anybody else fixing the food and washing the dishes? Why? What's he over there doing washing the truck? What's the big deal about that? What about the guy that rings the bell, you know, on the truck as they're going down? That's his job, to ring the bell. He thinks that's the greatest job in all the world, to ring the bell. That's what he does. All of us have jobs to do. But when it comes down to it, all of us are firemen. And we have all been given the task, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So as we cook or clean or whatever, we give the gospel. Okay, so let me just back into the message here and realize that just because somebody else is not doing what you're doing doesn't mean what they're doing is not important. Amen. We need every part of the body, every part of the body. So that's part of what goes into the spiritual gift study. And then number three, offices gifted to deal with saints. Those dealing with the lost, evangelists, and then those dealing with the saved. The Bible says pastors and teachers. Pastors are those called to tend the flock of God. To tend the flock. Take care of the needs. Protect and all of that. John 21, verse 16. Jesus, he's speaking here. He saith to him, to Peter again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Now, it's not just feeding. It's one who feeds, nurtures, protects God's people. A shepherd, shepherding the flock of God. Looking after their needs, protecting them, watching for wolves. Watching for false doctrine. Watching for division. Trying to preserve and protect God's work. It's not the pastor's work. We're just merely an under-shepherd. We've been given a job to do. We're responsible to Jesus Christ for that. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So when we look into God's word, we feast upon his word, we study it, we do our best to look into it as pastors. And God raises up people who, you know, they're not really very comfortable going to the hospital. They're not really comfortable standing beside someone at a graveside. They're not comfortable listening as someone bears their heart and their burdens and putting their arm around the guy and praying with him and getting on their knees and beside him and praying with him and asking, you know, the shepherd. But you know, they're gifted when it comes to teaching. I mean, they are precise, powerful pastors and teachers. Now, I admit, I have heard phenomenal teachers of the Word of God. I mean, I'm listening on the radio. I'm sitting in the pew, and I'm sitting there, and I'm my mouth just drops open. How did they find that? That's amazing. You know, I get my pen out and I jot it down. You know, that kind of thing. They're gifted teachers. Teachers are those called to teach the flock of God. Now, a pastor is supposed to be apt to teach. Okay? Just like doing the work of an evangelist. But a pastor should be gifted in pastoring, shepherding. My primary spiritual gifts, these two, it appears. And don't laugh. Don't laugh. The second one, don't laugh. But shepherding and administration. Shepherding and administration. And it appears that those are primary in my heart, in my life. And as honestly as I can see, and a lot of people would say, yeah, his gift is not teaching, that's for sure. But I work at it. And I'm apt to teach. I'm ready. And I prepare. And I want God to use me. And I come in prayed up and asking God to help us to look up to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now there are some folks that just, I mean, it's like a hot knife in butter just slices right through. They're gifted teachers of the Word of God. And God gives churches that office, pastor and teacher. And they work together. They work together. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Be very cautious. Do not be enamored by charisma. Do not be overwhelmed by vocabulary. Don't be caught up in emotion, whether it's laughter or tears. You know, delivering stories. The Lord Jesus used parables whenever he was speaking to the common folks. He always used an illustration, a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's good. That's a wonderful thing that we as preachers can illustrate and apply a truth with that. But sometimes I have left a church service and the next day, I'm trying to remember what he preached about. Boy, I could give that story word for word. Okay? One particular preacher, and I won't give his name. He's preached here. He'll probably preach here again. And he preaches a long time. But it doesn't seem like it. Because, boy, can he tell stories. I mean, he can really tell stories. And I I'm not criticizing. But sometimes I wonder if we really get it attached back to the God's Word. Teachers, attach it to God's Word. And God's promise to bless His Word. We need God's blessing on us. 2 Timothy 2, well, before I get to that, do you see that up here on the screen? Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. And that's what I was talking about, not charisma, not human intellect, not which man's, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now, whenever someone teaches the Word of God and God is blessing, then the Holy Spirit says, he's right. What he's saying is true. Listen to that. Which the Holy Ghost teacheth, okay? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Whenever someone comes up with something brand new that you've never heard of, you never read about in the Bible. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. But look very closely. at it. Examine it before you swallow it. The other day, I was sitting at someone's home, bless their hearts. We had a marvelous visit. And I had a glass of ice water in front of me. And, you know, it's been hot. And they set the water in front of me. And don't worry, it's nobody here. Nobody here. And I looked down as I went to pick up the glass, I saw a dead fly floating in the water. You know, I thought, okay, what do I do? I thought, you know, they asked me if they could fix me some coffee. They asked me if I could want a soft drink or anything, and they said, well, water. I said, I won't turn down a glass of water. That'd be great. So I asked for it. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, if I don't drink this, I could offend them. I watched that fly. When I would take a drink and I set it back down, that fly's still there. You're good. We're good. It's just protein, right? Comparing, checking spiritual things with spiritual. Check it out and compare it and watch it. If it's something you don't understand, go to the Word of God and compare and study. And the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So look at it and ask God to turn on the lights in your mind. You might not be a gifted teacher. You might not hold that office in the church. I don't know. But you might know someone who is. Go to them and say, hey, I was listening on the radio. I was on the way home. Somebody said this, and I never heard of that before. Is that right? Show me in the Bible where it talks about that. Compare Scripture with Scripture. And spiritual things with spiritual. And let God grow our hearts. That's what God wants to happen in our church, in every church. And it goes on for the purpose. We don't have time. We'll get that next time. But he gave these offices in the church for a particular purpose, for a particular reason. We'll look at that next time. Let's bow our heads together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one's looking. Some would say, I'm here on a Thursday night. It's kind of a different setting, tables everywhere. Yeah, but it could be that God brought you here because he wants to save your soul. It could be the Holy Spirit's knocking on your heart saying there's something missing. And that person that's missing is Jesus Christ. You may have been baptized as a child. You may have joined a church. You may live a wonderful life of good works. But if you don't know Jesus in the forgiveness of sin, born again, the family of God, then tonight could be your spiritual birthday. Tonight could be the night that you say yes to Jesus Christ and welcome the reservation for heaven into your life. If you'd say, Pastor Sears, if I died right now, I wish I could say, I know that I would go to heaven, but I can't say that. I don't know for sure. I wish that were the case. And I hope that I will go to heaven. But I don't know for certain. I don't have a Bible reason to say that I'll be going to heaven when I die. But I'd like to know that. Would you slip your hand up and take it down with no one looking? Would you just get honest with your own heart, because God already knows. Say, I want to know that, preacher. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up and take it right back down. I'll not embarrass you. I'll pray with you and for you. Is there one? I don't see any hands. There may be some folks here that maybe you've been attending our church and you want to join tonight. I invite you, when we stand and sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way, I invite you to come. And we'd love to have you as a part of our church. If you just need to come and pray for somebody, maybe someone's coming with you tomorrow night, and they've never been in church for years. This is the first time in a long time. You want to come and pray for them, that God will speak to their heart and an open door be found in their spirit. I invite you to come. Let's stand together, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you now thanking you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for gifting our church and churches like ours with your power and your people. I pray now that you would move and direct in this verse of invitation. Lord, there may be some that want to make a decision, take a step forward for you. I pray now that you would bless them in Jesus' name. Have an own way, Lord. If God moved upon your heart, you come on.